It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Let's go to the opener of this series, which featured a sign that the Mets are finding ways to win by grabbing games out of their derriere. Because think back to the opener of this series. Adrian Hauser does a fairly good job working into and out of trouble, you know, especially in that second inning when he issued those back-to-back walks, got the big strikeout of Connor Joe, got Jared Triolo out on a big ground out, and he worked his way in and out of trouble until the sixth inning when he finally gave up that big base hit to Andrew McCutchen. The Met offense was doing nothing, and the Met offense was failing golden opportunities. Francisco Lindor had that two-out double in the first inning. Pete Alonso flies out. Brett Beatty gets hit by a pitch. The Mets have a leadoff man on. They do nothing. They get a two-out double from Starling Marte in the third inning. They can't get him in. They get a little two-out walk from Francisco Alvarez. They can't get him in. They get a leadoff man on in the fifth inning. They can't get him in. They go down 3-0 after Drew Smith comes in and really gives us his first bad performance of the year, because I think it was time to take Adrian Hauser out. He ran into trouble in the sixth. He gives up that base hit to McCutchen to go down 1-0. His pitch count's at 95. Two of the last three batters have reached. It made sense to go to Drew Smith. And Drew Smith, really, for the first time, struggled. He gives up a leadoff walk as soon as he comes in. He gives up an RBI hit to Connor Joe, gives up a sacrifice fly to Triolo. And so we saw our first kind of stub toe from Drew Smith. And I think we have to be honest, down 3-0, bottom of the sixth inning, they can't figure out Martin Perez. Most of us thought they were dead. As much as the Mets have shown fight this season, 3-0 on Monday night, we all figured they were dead, and they instantly responded. What I loved about what they did in the sixth inning is they got the back-to-back base hits against Perez, both of which came behind in the count. Marte, behind in the count, base hit to right field. Francisco Lindor, who is showing a little bit of a pulse. Now, he's mostly doing it from the right side. I admit that. But I think he's put together back-to-back 3-for-11s on this homestand. So 6-for-22. It's not like he's tearing the cover off the ball. He's still not driving the ball. He's still struggling from the left side. But he puts together a big base hit down 0-2 in the count. After Alonso pops up, Brett Beatty, who unfortunately got hurt later in this series, more on that later, comes up with a big base hit. And then we see the Mets get lucky. And lucky is okay. It is okay to be lucky, because when you lose games with unluck, we don't sit here saying, we're just unlucky. You know, we usually get pissed off. So when you can win games by getting lucky, that's a good thing too. Francisco Alvarez draws a bases loaded walk in which Perez lost the strike zone. But credit to Alvarez. He has had, I know he's been struggling lately. He's cooled off after that hot start. Alvarez has been drawing more walks. Alvarez has been giving you more quality at-bats. After McNeil flies out, we get that big moment. And I thought this was a very interesting decision by Carlos Mendoza, because Tyrone Taylor has hit. Tyrone Taylor has been off to a good start. And yet Carlos Mendoza, who has shown more loyalty to sticking with his guys, pinch hits for Tyrone Taylor with DJ Stewart. And it sort of came out of nowhere, because if you're not at this game, and I was not at Monday's game, I was at Tuesday's and Wednesday's game, the Pirates just made the pitching change to go to Hunter Stratton. So they come right back from commercial break, and you really don't have a chance to digest what's happening. Okay, there's a new pitcher. It's a righty. And there's DJ Stewart. And before you could even digest that Mendoza went uber aggressive by pinch hitting for Tyrone Taylor in the sixth inning, which I got to tell you, I'd admit, I probably wouldn't have done it. So I would have gotten that one wrong. Or maybe I would have gotten it right, because Tyrone Taylor's been great. But DJ Stewart attacks the first pitch for that clutch RBI double. And all of a sudden, they are in business. And that tied the game. They actually got a run right before that, because Connor Joe spiked the ball down on a lazy fly ball by Jeff McNeil. So it wasn't a sacrifice fly. Lindor was not going to be able to tag up and score. But for whatever reason, I guess Joe was just confused on if he was going to throw to the cutoff man, if he was going to try to throw to the plate, if he wasn't going to throw at all. And he ends up spiking it in the ground, which made it 3-2. But DJ Stewart, who is now starting to show you a little bit of a pulse. It's funny, DJ Stewart hasn't had a lot of hits this season, but his hits have been big. The three-run home run last week and the RBI double to tie the game in the sixth inning. So the Mets immediately, after being down 3-0, immediately respond. And then we see the strength of the New York Mets. What is the strength of the New York Mets right now? It's only 18 games, but it's the thing I thought would be the strength coming into the season. So it's not, you know, just reactionary. It's a little reactionary, but it's also, hey, we kind of figured this coming in. Their bullpen. The back end of this bullpen. Brooks Raley comes in seventh inning, top of the order. Bing, 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 1-2-3. Adam Ottavino in the eighth inning, heart of the order. Bing, 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 1-2-3. And then the Mets in the bottom of the eighth inning start a rally because Jeff McNeil, and I got to give Jeff McNeil credit for this, had a very heads-up moment in this game. And I give McNeil credit mostly because Jeff McNeil is an emotional player. And it's funny with emotional players. Sometimes when guys are really emotional, they're Paul O'Neill and we love them. They throw their helmet down. They get upset. Ah, that guy cares. He's a warrior. Sometimes we look at them as moping, crying babies, right? You're not a baby, Spence. I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about Jeff McNeil. I only say that because his big brother always taunts him by saying, you're a baby. You're a baby. You are not a baby, Spence, right? And he's shaking his head. All right. Anyhow, I'm not going to get him involved in the podcast. I don't think he's interested. Jeff McNeil strikes out. Should be two outs and nobody on. McNeil usually mopes, throws his helmet, complains, cries, immediately sees the ball, gets past Henry Davis, the catcher, and sprints to first base. Now, you guys may act like that's not a big deal. If it's anybody else, I don't think it would be a big deal. But because Jeff McNeil is such a crying baby at times, I was almost surprised that he was heads up enough after striking out to immediately run to first base. I've always had this thought, and this is such a non-athlete speaking, but I admit I'm a non-athlete, that if a pitch looks like it's going to be wild, why not swing and miss on purpose? Because then you could get to first base. It's an easy get on base opportunity for you. Now, there's two reasons why that doesn't make sense. Number one, usually you can't see that quick enough. Like you're not, you know, you can't process the information quick enough to say, oh, that ball's going to be a wild, wild pitch. Let me just swing at it. And then number two, I think selfishly, is stats. You don't want to give up an at bat. But if you care about winning, you want to get on base. And McNeil gets on base. DJ Stewart then gives you this really good at bat to draw a walk. And then how about this? And I criticized Mendy for this on an earlier Rico, so now I'm starting to see Mendy either listen to the Rico or just do things differently. A double steal. How great was that double steal on Monday night? And not only do you get to see a double steal in a big spot like that with first and second, one out, tie game in the eighth inning, you see a double steal with two guys that are not really stolen base threats. DJ Stewart stealing second, Jeff McNeil stealing third base. How great was that? And then even Harrison Bader, who came through with the huge two-run double that gave us the lead, he stole second base. So the Mets went out there and stole three bases in the eighth inning. So think about how they take the lead. McNeil is heads up enough to run immediately after striking out. They get a great at-bat from DJ Stewart, who I was surprised to be in the game to begin with, drawing a walk. You get a double steal from two unlikely sources, DJ and McNeil, and then Harrison Bader comes through with the huge two-run double. Voila, Mets take the lead. Voila, we got a victory. Because there was no doubt with Edwin Diaz in the ninth inning that Edwin Diaz was going to take care of business. And Edwin Diaz took care of business. He got the home run out of the way on Sunday. He does issue that kind of random four-pitch walk to Triolo with one out. But even then, I had confidence. Now, I want to address this since we're talking about Edwin Diaz and we're talking about his performance on Monday night. His velocity was down. Did I notice that at Citi Field? I did not. Because when I'm sitting there, actually, no, I wasn't at Citi Field Monday night. So did I notice it watching on SNY? I did not. I'm not always staring at the gun. Sometimes we take a look at the gun. On Monday night's case, I was not staring at the gun. I then read after the game, hey, Edwin's fastball velocity was down a tick. So was his velocity on a slider. He's pitching in a back-to-back. Before that, he had not pitched in almost a week. I'm not overly concerned. I'm not overly concerned because, A, he did a pretty good job. He got weak contact. Even that O'Neill Cruz fly ball to end the game was not scorched. He struck out Henry Davis after he issued the walk. And I also think it's early in the season. And when you are early in a baseball season and you have a guy coming off a year in which he barely pitched, I don't want to panic. I don't want to get nuts. Now, is something going to come out that's going to make me look like an idiot, have egg on my face? Maybe. I hope not. But Edwin Diaz gave you a relatively clean ninth inning, and the Mets gave you another impressive come-from-behind victory, 6-3 over the Pirates on Monday. And what I loved about it is I said this, I think I said this off-air. I don't know if I ever said this on the Rico or on the air with Tiki. But off-air, I said to Tiki, I have a very simple goal. I want to get out of this homestand at 500. That's it. Just get me to 500 going to Los Angeles. By winning the opener against the Pirates, you put yourself in a spot where all you got to do is split the next two games. You just won another series, and you get to LA at 500. But clearly, I set my expectations way too low.